This is CliffCentral.com.
I got Donna Rachelson here. I want to talk to her because what she's got to say is really, really interesting. And she's going to talk to us a little bit about women in business. She's written a number of books. I know you're going to love talking to her. Leanne's already excited. So let me tell you quickly. If you don't know Donna Rachelson, this morning we're here to say you need to know her. She's a driven entrepreneur with a passion for helping women. Entrepreneurs, corporate go-getters, she helps them make their mark. She's an active advocate for diversity, firmly believes that power and inclusion is important. She drives her agenda through talks and workshops and lobbying the ecosystem for change. And she's written these books. One of the books is called Personal Branding for Entrepreneurs. And it's a fast, worthwhile read to enhance your personal brand, figure out what it is that makes you truly distinctive. And she's in here this morning to tell us about that and more. Hey, Donna, how are you?
Fine, and you?
I'm great. It's awesome. Friday morning. I'm having a great day. It's about time we got to talk to you. I've known Donna for a long time, and we've never had her on the show. It's outrageous.
Agreed.
It is. So how are things going? Are we managing in this economy?
Yeah, we're getting along. I think there's a strong focus on women. Uh-huh. I'm feeling it all around. There's tension. People are feeling it. It's big stuff.
Now, it makes absolute sense to anyone who's got half a brain that you need women not only in proportional amounts in any representative organization, because women will bring a new market insight. If there's just men in a business, they'll think like men. And if there's just women in a business, they'll think like women. And sometimes they'll miss out on half the market, right? So you need a bit of both. And sometimes the women can be in charge and sometimes the men can be in charge. And that's absolutely essential because then decisions will be made differently. Women see things men don't. Men see things women don't. We're different.
Absolutely. So diversity in everything is meaningful. Mm-hmm. A diversity in a supply chain, when your suppliers are all diverse, it creates for great competitiveness. If you're looking at boards, diverse boards, and not only women, it's all kinds of different people.
Yeah.
Bring energy, bring different perspectives, bring an organization alive. So I think that that's one point I want to make. The other is that there is now proof that when you have more senior women in management, that your organization is more profitable.
Right.
There's also now cutting edge research that I think it's 17 out of 20 leadership competencies. Many women score better on those competencies. So there's now kind of research that women are better leaders. So I don't think there's a case that we need more women. The case is, how do we help women show up differently? Mm. And how do we ensure that we change the
Leanne, your Siri's that, going
that's
on.
Not me, hey.
No, it's Leanne. It's her Siri gets triggered by all of this talk of women.
It gets very excited.
And the other thing is, how do we bring men into the conversation and help ensure that there's an understanding of what's holding women back?
I want to talk about that in particular in just a moment, but I also want to hear about your story and where you come from and where this all started happening for you and how you ended up writing these books and being so involved with women in business. Where did it all begin?
So my career has been really male-dominated. Started off life in an explosives and chemicals factory, which was all about chemical engineers. Yeah. That's all I knew. Then I became marketing director for the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants, which was all white male accountants at that stage. Then I joined Standard Bank, banking, also male-dominated. Then joined Nando's, which was also extremely male-dominated at that time, and then joined a supply chain management company. So my career was about navigating the world of men and, you know, understanding how, as a woman, I needed to show up and how I needed to make my mark. So I became quite passionate about that. And then as I evolved through my career, I've been asked by a number of organizations to look at what some of their leading women were doing to get ahead. Mm-hmm. And through this understanding, what I saw is many of them thought like men, but they weren't men. So this was an interesting kind of aspect for me to work with. So what I realized is they understood how the world of work worked in terms of rules that men have kind of created.
Right.
Why? Because men have been in the workplace a lot longer than women.
No, we invented it.
You invented it, exactly. You were there
We made it according to our rules.
Exactly. You know? So their rules, but they didn't compromise who they were as women. So they didn't try and be like men.
Yeah. Well, there are women who do, and sometimes they're very successful.
Exactly, because that is a strategy if you want to be, you know, the woman that swear in the boardroom and drink with the boys, and, you know, there are lots of them.
It's my kind of woman, really. Let's be honest.
All right, but there are other things that women see. First of all, I want to talk about this thing that you brought up once or twice already. That women need to stand up for themselves and be their own advocates, because men aren't going to do that for them. But sometimes women are not their best – they aren't their best agents, if you know what I mean.
Agreed.
You know, like sometimes they – because women and men are raised differently, because we have different inherent abilities, that there are strengths and weaknesses on both sides. And again, we're generalizing.
Yeah.
But by and large, women are more about people and relationships. – Men are more about like results and immediate gratification and power and ego and all of those things. And sometimes they don't gel so well. And sometimes a woman's in a position where she doesn't fight for things like a man would.
Yeah, agreed.
Because she's trying to cultivate a relationship. She's trying to understand the dynamics. There are things that she can do, and she has intuition, which a man doesn't. And she can feel things that men don't know and aren't able to sense, and she doesn't necessarily always use those things to her advantage when it comes to negotiating for a better salary or any of that stuff, right?
You're spot on, and if you look at the games that boys play when they were growing up, it's all about sport, and it's about winning and losing.
Right.
And boys learn at a very early age that you win some and you lose some. And either way, you can still be friends afterwards. What women tend to do is they focus on smaller groups, and it's all about cohesion, collaboration. I remember growing up, I had like six Barbies, girls, and one Ken.
Yeah.
And I remember playing with my friends, and we were working out how everybody can work nicely and everybody can have a bit of Ken.
That was a busy Ken.
You know, it was a busy Ken. Lucky Ken and a busy Ken. But,
and there was competition with those Barbies.
Absolutely. There was, but, you know, it was all about the relationships and the collaboration and the cohesion and all that kind of stuff. And what we do is we tend to bring that to the workplace.
Mm.
So, yeah, we're fabulous at building relationships. But the problem is sometimes it can be to our detriment. The reason being is if I fall out with a woman, I'm thinking, you know, if I can't have a personal relationship with her, how can I possibly have a business relationship? Where often you can find two guys that actually hate each other.
But
yet
do.
For the sake of business, in the boardroom, you would say that they were stuck together with glue. They're so cohesive.
Mm.
And I think these are some of the differences that, you know, women need to be aware of and to navigate.
Well, let's talk about the strengths, because there are things that women are better at than men, and we've talked about building relationships, but they're others, right?
Yeah. We're very intuitive, as you said. We're very collaborative. We're very purpose-driven.
Mm.
You'll often find women come into the world of work, what's my purpose? You know, got to find my purpose. Can't be doing this if I don't have purpose. Meanwhile, a guy is game on. You know, where's my salary? When am I going to be CEO? When am I getting the next raise? It's all about the business. We quite calculated risk takers. In fact, there's emerging research that women make better entrepreneurs.
Mm.
And the reason being is that we quite calculated with our risk, So that's something that's really great. And what else about us? We're good leaders.
What are the weaknesses that women need to look out for apart from the ones we've already touched on?
So, a lot of things about women sit around, they tend to be very perfectionistic. So one of the chapters I talk about in my book is say it, it doesn't have to be 100%. So often a woman won't speak out, firstly because there's a dynamic that they think that they may be lesser amongst men in the room, but also because they feel that it needs to be perfect.
And that also makes me think of some things I've observed when men and women are in a meeting together or whatever else it is. Women don't like conflict generally. Men sometimes love conflict.
Absolutely, because it's all about the winning and the losing.
Right.
You know, I'm either going to win or I'm going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's also interesting, funny, just linked to that point, is, you know, no to a man means maybe, yes, or later. It doesn't necessarily mean no. Whereas a woman, when they hear no, they take it as a personal kind of dig at their capabilities. And I did a social experiment with my kids. I said to my daughter, Carly, when I say to you no, what does it mean? And she says, Mommy, no means no. And I said to my son, Zach, when I say to you no, what does it mean? He says, nag more.
No.
No, seriously. Yeah. So that is also something that, you know, we take things sometimes too personally.
How much real chauvinism and sexism is there out there in the workplace? Because we hear stories, and they're becoming, I think, rarer and rarer, because men are now checking their behavior in a world where I think social media has helped with this, where women are able to say what they think and they're able to express themselves a lot more volubly than they might have before. But it's still there, right?
It's so there. It's scary. Mm. In fact, one of my facilitators this week is involved in a blue chip organization where they have compulsory training on sexual harassment. Not that you need to do it.
No.
That, you know, what to look out for, how to speak out. So this stuff is very real. And unfortunately,
so we're not even talking about the subtle stuff now. No. We're talking about like straight up sexual harassment.
Straight up sexual harassment that has, you know, these cases have been taken to the CEO, but now it's kind of been implemented across the organization. Training has to happen. So unfortunately, it's rife.
I think that what you said just now about women entrepreneurs, that's interesting, because there's a good case for how, especially in South Africa, where women are responsible for so much in the family, in the community, all of that stuff, that they have a market understanding, which sometimes the men in that community might not have.
Mm.
That could be a massive advantage too, right?
It is. So one of the businesses I'm involved in, Seed Engine, where we fast track women and youth entrepreneurs, the whole premise around it is that when a woman becomes empowered from an entrepreneurship perspective, it's not only her family she looks after, but it's her community and society. And that is the case for driving woman entrepreneurship in South Africa and Africa for that case.
How do you deal with the criticism that a lot of insecure men might have when you're constantly emphasizing the role of women all the time? And there are men who take this stuff very personally because they probably have an inferiority complex, or they're insecure about themselves or whatever, and they hear women, 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 and they think, oh, this means obviously we're excluding men, we're denigrating men, we're pushing them to the sidelines. It doesn't, but how do you deal with those men?
Yeah, I do have a few problems occasionally when we push women. I do believe we have to push women because they have been disadvantaged and they're not on the radar screen. For example, they hardly get as much venture capital funding as men do. In fact, it's a minimal amount of funding that women get. But having said that, my strong belief in South Africa is that all entrepreneurs create jobs. And we got to be giving equal emphasis to every entrepreneur who is out there, you know, battling every day, you know, trying to make it work in this very, very tough economy. So I hear you. And I think it's something we got to be sensitive to.
And women can use those old traits that men are incapable of avoiding and ignoring to their advantage too. I mean, like, you know, there are abilities that women have to get men's attention that men don't, if you know what I mean. Whether it's from a power point of view, whether it's to do business, whether it's to forge relationships, men almost lose their minds sometimes.
Mm.
We become a bit like a vacuum in the presence of a woman who either has, you know, a really interesting and charming way about her, perhaps a little bit of a flirtatious nature. Perhaps it's in the way that she dresses. Perhaps it's in the way that she takes control of things. Sometimes men are so preoccupied with those dynamics that they actually can be manipulated quite easily.
Look, I think you're spot on. And, you know, certainly with a lot of the younger women that I work with, I mean, I just give an example, like, you know, how to connect with somebody when you're networking. And I sometimes say I'll go up to a guy and give him a compliment and, you know, say he's got a nice shirt or whatever.
Suddenly he's yours.
Yeah, but, Cliff, there's a, you know, they say, oh, no, that would be flirting. And, you know, I don't want to get involved in that. I said, look, I'm too old for that. I know that I'm not going to get picked up. So it's not an issue for me. But certainly I do sense that women know that they do have this kind of power that they can utilize when they need to. But the stance where I come from and a lot of my books around personal branding is how do you build a personal brand that commands authority, respect, and credibility.
Yeah.
And that's built on the substance as opposed to
the tricks.
The tricks, you know, how you dress, the flirting, all that kind of stuff.
I think what's really important for me, I am quite involved in female entrepreneurship, and I do talks and alongside my business partner. And what we find and what we try and instill in the people that we speak to is that it's you don't no longer have to compete against each other as women. You know, before landing a job as a woman was rare, and you would often think about yourself first rather than another woman, and it would be very competitive. But now we're finding that if we work together, we're actually 10 times more powerful.
Absolutely, but women don't always support women. I'm not sure why.
They don't. It's incredible. I've
never it's the six Barbies with the one Ken thing. That's what I'm telling you.
It all stems from that.
You girls start with those games. It's bound to lead to trouble.
Exactly, but that's why also another chapter in my book, you know, speaking to women is focus on results and deliverables. You know, you've got your place at the table. Now make it happen. Work your network like a man, because men are extremely good at networking, much better than women, because we tend to focus more on the relationship. So if
you can't have a relationship with everybody. It's just time consuming and exhausting.
Exactly. You know, whereas men will leverage their networks ruthlessly to get what they need to get. And we need to learn from that.
Is this why women can't leave the room when you're ready?
Hey. Where's this going?
I'm telling you. For guys, it's sometimes enough to just go, hey, how are you? And then move on. Hey, George, what do you think? George Meany's here.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you're all right, but we don't do that in my business.
What do you do?
We're very focused on treating people based on their abilities and their outputs and their performance, male or female. Half of my management team are female, so you know. And for me, I don't look at it as a male or female thing. I don't say, Angie, you're a girl, or not that, you know, she doesn't have a gender, but it's when we're engaging in business, we've just cultivated a business over the last 20 years that. It doesn't feel like that for me. In a boardroom, we're actually arguing on the basis of the facts or the merits or the problem.
Yeah, Donna, don't you feel sometimes that maybe the politics of all of this has almost made it harder?
Yeah, I think that is what we've got rid of in our business, is the politics.
Yeah, because actually, if you're good and what you're talking about is competence, and what you're talking about is being, you know, being the best you can be, personal branding and all the rest of it, then the politics actually shouldn't play much of a role.
Yeah, look, I hear you and you sound like a very enlightened leader, but let me tell you that there are some facts that are documented in the English dictionary. There's a term called microaggression, where women have to prove their capabilities when applying for a job a lot more than a man. Well, a man is kind of chosen for his potential, whereas a woman needs to prove her competency inside out.
Yeah, but let me just say that microaggression thing, that is bullshit Marxist leftist language that they've introduced in college campuses in America. There's no such thing. It's absolutely made up nonsense for weakness in college campuses for these coddled elitist children who've got nothing else to complain about. It's nonsense, Donna. Microaggression is bullshit.
All I talk for is myself, and all I know is what we've done in the last 20 years, and discrimination based on gender, race, politics,
unacceptable.
Or anything is unacceptable in my business. It's just unacceptable. If somebody starts with their political bullshit, I'm sorry.
Out of the meeting.
You know.
Go and be with the children, you know, and come back when you're ready to talk.
It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
Now, I hear you guys, but I promise you, Trust me, women need to prove themselves a lot more than men.
No, that I don't disagree with. I think that's absolutely
in the main.
It's an unfair thing that we still have.
I'm not saying it's right, but the fact is that it's there.
Yeah.
We need more leaders like you. That,
well, you know, we need more books like yours, and you can find out more by going to DonnaRachelson.com. That is her website. You can also find the books on Amazon and on Kindle. Personal Branding for Entrepreneurs, and Play to Win, What Women Can Learn from Men in Business. I mean, there are a bunch of books. Once you find Donna on Amazon, you might want to buy them all.
It's also nice that the book's not intimidating. It's small, and it's got less pages than
how many pages?
Much less pages than a normal book.
It's a nice, quick, concise read.
Well, Donna, thank you for coming to talk to us this morning.
Thank you so much.
You can find Donna on DonnaRachelson.com and go and look at her books, and you might just find a whole lot of interesting facts and useful wisdom in there too that might just help you, and if you're a guy, could help you to, first of all, the personal branding stuff is, you know, for everybody. But the books on how women can be more like men in business and what they can learn from men in business, I think that could be interesting for men to read.
Absolutely.
This is CliffCentral.com.